This is the Warcast Reforged, Tales from the Battleline, a podcast about Keyforge, a unique deck game from Ghost Galaxy. Your hosts are Tobin Opus and Jason Wallace. Episode 26. Is it hard work or lab work? All right, welcome. I'm Tobin Opus.
And I'm Jason Wallace.
And we are back, folks. This is the episode you've been waiting for anxiously for maybe 20 minutes or maybe 2 weeks. I don't know. This is the rebuttal episode that we have put together in our debate with Sloppy Lab Work.
Mm-hmm.
So JT Quickdraw and Murph over at Sloppy Lab Work have put together a against set rotation. We are arguing for set rotation. So this is the second episode. This is the rebuttal episode. And then after this, we'll move on to other things, right?
Yep.
Move on to other debates. The hope is that, and I know that this has caught some, there is some momentum amongst the podcast creator community in KeyForge,
mm-hmm.
that we want to have these. It doesn't have to, I don't think it has to be a regular thing. It doesn't have to be like every month we have a debate.
Right.
Have, you know, as things come up, you know, engage in some fun and
yep.
some actual back and forth discussion. So the first of that is we agreed to do set rotation.
Yep.
Flip the coin, Sloppy Lab Work got arguing against set rotation. We got arguing for set rotation. So if you haven't listened to that episode two episodes ago, it would have been episode 23.
Yep.
Our episode 23. Go listen to that first. That'll give you some context. All right. So Sloppy Lab Works episode 71 was their opening statement. All right. So one of the things I have some notes here on the 4 points that they made.
Mm-hmm.
JT and Quickdraw and Murph made. But one of the things I noticed generally when they talked about this was
they just got a little sloppy,
right? So we had agreed beforehand that, okay, we weren't going to define rotation. We were just going to say sets rotate out.
Well, and in our opening statement argument was keeping it very open. It's like, it could be this, but, you know, we're just going for some rotation, not whole hog of like, okay, everything but the most two current sets or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
just like, let's start something simple of, the oldest two sets.
Right.
That's very easy to digest.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And so that's where we were. That's our vision of things. And as I listened to their episode,
mm-hmm.
their argument episode, I realized that they were slipping. As they progressed their arguments, they started talking about packs only being, you know, a deck only being good for a year or two. And you're like,
that wasn't our argument.
That's not the set rotation I had envisioned.
Yep. That's not what we argued for.
longer time frame for these sets.
Yeah.
And that's based on I'm basing my thinking on what they had projected. FFG a long time ago had talked about set rotation for Netrunner. And they had said, okay, we are only going to have 5 to 7 sets mm-hmm. be good at any one time. So when the 8th set triggered, it would drop off 2 sets.
Yep.
Right? So the 8th set gets released, 2 sets get dropped off.
And this is going to be something all their LCGs, right. not just Netrunner, but we saw it with Netrunner, and
right.
it was successful.
Exactly. So you had, and maybe I'm getting the numbers wrong, but there was a triggering event. One episode, set 8 got released.
Yeah.
And then you would have the 2 drop off. So then you would have 3 through 8 be legal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only 6, right? So then those 2 would be legal. Those 6 would be legal for 2 releases. When release 10 came around, sets 3 and 4 would drop off.
Yep.
So any one set would be legal for at least, I think that makes it like 4 years.
4 or 5 years, depending on release schedule, too, because, you know, stuff happens in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And so related to that, Amber Skies, they mm-hmm. released
the Game Found.
The Game Found announcement came out. Amber Skies Game Found will be starting sometime in April.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that next time on next episode. We'll get dive deep down into that and hopefully some freaking Vault Tour news dates. Too.
Yeah, because we still have 4 days. It's the 25th today. And there just happens to be 29 days this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when they say in February, it's like, okay, but we were kind of hoping for earlier in February so we could make plans and, you know, I mean, we're set for Roseville for that Vault Tour. But
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
But it'd be nice to know, like, where else? I mean, because, like, okay, there's that, and then Gen Con. Okay, well, there's a lot of space in between there.
And as we're sitting here, the Gen Con hotel block is
open now,
distributed to people.
Yep.
So we are not going to Gen Con. I mean, that's how I've approached it. Like,
well, the past week, I got roped in to going.
All right.
With my friends from Illinois.
Okay.
They're like, hey, we've got three people. Jason, are you going? I'm like, well, I have to check with work, and then. Yeah, I got the time. I'm like, all right, looks like I'm going to Gen Con after all. So
all right,
national championship, here I come.
Woohoo! Okay, so back to the debate.
Right.
So we were thinking that gives each release a 3 to 4, maybe even longer, depending on release timelines.
Mm-hmm. Which is plenty of time.
Life, yeah. Right? Sloppy Labwork was putting forth an argument against set rotation. And yes, if you have a very limited set rotation, 1 to 2 to 3 years... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is
a lot
not,
of their points no, make sense.
That is not.
But that's not good, what we're.
That's not a good amount of time about. To have rotation. Like having product for only a year and a half, 2 years, even 2 years. I'd say is like that's still not enough time considering how much exploration and new decks are out there. And
mm-hmm. Yep.
But 4 or 5 years, plenty of time because then you've got plenty of product that have come into your hands and keeping you busy and yeah.
Yeah,
but that so that wasn't what we
so
yeah. Anyway.
So putting that aside, so Sloppy started getting sloppy there and started talking about a tighter rotation than we had envisioned in when we were starting our debate. So to their points, let's start with the evergreen promise.
Mm-hmm.
The implication from FFG that, and I don't remember this exactly being said by FFG. Maybe. And it wasn't it, like by the time 2019 rolled around and actually 2020 rolled around, mm-hmm. they had already gone back on this. And I'll show you how. We'll talk about that in minutes.
Sure.
But decks should have a lifetime in high level OP beyond a year, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
We talked about that, but it's absolutely unreasonable for any of us to expect that my deck that I bought on day one of release is going to be good for high level play 10 years from now. I mean,
or even
there's
a couple
even 5 years
even now. Or even like 6 months from now, like Amber Skies just announced, okay. Any awesome Grim Reminder deck you've got?
No, I'm not talking about rotation, being good. I'm talking about just being legal.
Okay, legal. Right. Okay. Yeah, let's clarify legal. That then. Yeah.
So the evergreen promise was never going to materialize.
Right.
It was a pipe dream. Right, it was a sales shtick. Hey, you know this is—it's always good. You can always play it, and yes, you can always play it. You can always play it at your kitchen table.
Yep.
You can always play it at store championships. You can always play it at these various local level stuff,
yep.
And for a time, you can play it at the high level. Right, but most customizable card games and living card games last a few years. I mean,
yeah. If you're lucky,
we are living proof of that. Right? Netrunner, 5 years. Conquest, 2 years. L5R, three and a half.
Yeah.
3.5, right?
Rivals.
Those are all rivals. Yeah, rivals lasted two years.
2 years.
2.5 years. So, Coded decks are more than 5 years old at this point, right?
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a long time. And every Coded deck is that old.
Yeah.
Whether it's been opened or not.
it's from the printing.
It was printed that long ago, five years,
and we've been playing multiple games that don't even last that long.
Exactly. Exactly. So the Evergreen Promise, while it was aspirational and a really great, this deck will be good forever. I certainly knew, that's not going to be the case.
I did not envision like that being true for
this reality, game.
Like, because the uniqueness of it, it's like you're always going to have sets. It's always going to be unique. You're going to move on. I'll not say you're not going to, because I mean, Hunter's got that really awesome Coded deck that's just broken as all hell. But
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the exception. Yeah. Like, that's the exception.
Yeah, yeah. And so they went back, and my example from before, here's my example.
Mm-hmm.
The Vault Warrior series. The Vault Warrior series that they announced in late 2019.
Oh, yeah.
To take place in 2020 was a big money series, right? We're talking about $250,000.
Yep.
Over five sites, five locations. And that the rules for that one said the last two sets.
Oh.
The most recent two sets would be the only ones that would be legal at that the highest that, level, one would presume.
For a crap load of money, that's what they
for
wanted.
For a crap load of money, they said the last two sets are the ones available.
Right.
Right.
So that
so this was showing that FFG
already was going against
was
the
already,
evergreen.
Yep. You know.
And again, it was at this high level of mm-hmm. tournaments, mm-hmm. not just, again, you still can kitchen tabletop, like, fine, play with your buddies with whatever decks you want.
Local tournaments for fun tournaments,
yeah,
whatever
but
you want to do.
When you're getting to this super high level competitiveness, they wanted to say, like, the most last two sets, that's the most competitive tier that we want to have displayed. We don't want decks from 4 or 5 years ago. We want the most current stuff to be showing in competitive tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That came from FFG, which, again, GG's.
Not them,
but they have also never said evergreen. GG's never said that,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can recall.
Correct. And FFG talked about Ascension. I mean, we've talked about Ascension before, but they talked about Ascension. Like, if a deck gets too good, they will ascend it.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't tell me that.
And GG still hasn't said they're going to do that or not. I mean,
yeah,
it could happen, but we don't know that. So,
yeah. Okay. So that point, I think we've belabored that point. I think we've beaten it in the ground. I think we've made the ideas clear that the Evergreen Promise was, while it might have been implied and maybe even said by FFG, no one really believed it. Well, and the game doesn't rely on it.
It doesn't.
The people playing the game doesn't rely on these decks being Evergreen. It just doesn't. People move on. Like, just like you said, people evolve. They get to a point, there's a deck, they get to that, but then they find another deck that does a little bit differently things that mm-hmm. they like, and they go on and move on from there. All right, so the next point, the Sloppy Lab Work said, this idea of set rotation, which is you only need one deck. And so if we had set rotation, you would need more than one deck because you would have Coda or AOA, and it would rotate out, and you'd be SOL. While it might be, it's kind of the same thing with the Evergreen Promise.
The concept of it's only one deck, it's a gimmick to get people into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you only spend now like $15 with tax to play the game. And because there's no restriction on tokens, like, you don't have to use the game tokens. You can use any tokens you want to represent the game mechanics, but you only need to buy the one deck to get into the game and see if you like it. And if you do, you're not, no one I know limits themselves to one deck. Card players don't do that.
Right. And this is to set, they use that, you only need one deck, to set it apart from LCGs and CCGs, where you had to buy a core set,
right,
or you had to buy a starter deck, and then in any way, shape, or form, in order to make that in any way near playable, you had to buy more.
Yeah, you had to spend hundreds of dollars to get into those games usually. Like, especially if they've been going on. It's like, oh, wait, there's all these other sets out there. I'm never going to get caught up. I mean, I remember when I started playing Netrunner, I was like, oh, all these have come out? I mean, and I took the plunge.
Mm-hmm.
But with Keyforge, you don't have to take a plunge like that. You could be like, yeah, I bought this deck, and if it's doing really well, great. But
and
then
I'm having fun with it, I'm fine.
Yeah, but, you know, but what it's only got three houses. There's multiple houses. It's like, I don't know of any card player to be like, well, I don't want to try other combinations out there. I don't want to see what other decks. That curiosity is going to get to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to want to buy more than one deck. But to get in, yeah, one deck, it's a great gimmick. But as far as rotation goes, like, again, we're arguing for the like oldest sets. So if you've had that one deck for 4 or 5 years, I find it hard to believe you haven't bought any other sets. If you've been playing the game for that long.
Mm-hmm. There's no way. You have more than one deck.
Yeah.
Right. Now, compare that to the Commander decks, the Magic the Gathering has been doing these, you know, one-off special environmental, you know, IP Commander decks. Like Lord of the Rings, right? Warhammer. I have some 40K ones. I have the Chaos deck and the Imperial Guard deck. Just because.
In those cases, they might be doing Jurassic Park.
They're doing murders. There's all,
there's all these weird IP. It's magic. Whatever. It's a cash cow.
So they got all that. But those are $60, $60 to $70 to $80 to $90 decks. That's, you just want one. You only need one, but that's $60.
Yeah.
Right? We were talking about you only need one at $12, at $10, at $15. And the fact of the matter is that anybody who's played this game for any amount of time beyond that first deck has hundreds of decks.
Probably.
I mean, I'm
or they've bought and played them. They might not have them more because they probably they might have sold them off.
They might have sold them off.
Like, because some people do curate their collections, but they've purchased more than one deck. They, no one limits themselves to, this is my one deck.
Yeah. Yeah. They just keep
buying. It could be your really good deck, and then it's like another set comes out, and that deck could just fall flat on its face every game you're losing. You're not going to stick with the deck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, NKFL, the most recent episode of NKFL, those guys do some great work over there. he was talking about he'd opened his decks from his Game Found, and I think he had 72. I can't remember if this is Jason or not, but there's another Jason on.
Yeah,
on
NKFL, there's a lot of Jasons in the community, so, unfortunately for me.
So he talks about, I did what any sane Keyforge player would do, or something to this effect. And he said, I bought 12 more boxes and bought, and, or six more boxes and opened 72 more decks. I did what any sane Keyforge player would do. I opened 72 more decks. Boom. I'm like, oh my God. and I talked to, I think I was playing, maybe I'm getting this wrong. I was playing someone, and maybe it was Zeramis, who was also on the NKFL podcast, but I was playing someone who said, yeah, I got this great deck. It's amazing. And of course, I opened it up. It was like one of my first six decks, and sure enough, I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. I don't have to open up any other decks. 72 open decks later, I'm still of that opinion. I didn't need to open any of those other ones. I'm like, so people go nuts.
Yeah.
Because if you find a good thing, then you open them back up and you're like, maybe I can find another good thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like with the
depressing part is that usually the good thing that you found probably is the best thing that you will find. And until you get to a certain number.
It's kind of like with TCGs. Like, yeah, it's that card chase. Like, oh, yeah, I got the best possible deck here. But it's like, but maybe there's something better. That itch is really hard to scratch. Like, and I mean, most of us are former LCG or CCG players or TCG players. And it's like, that's just ingrained.
We're
like,
completionists. We experience FOMO. You know, as I've aged, I'm less of a completionist and I'm less of a FOMO. I suffer less fear of missing out, right?
Right.
But it's still there.
Well, with this game in particular, like what I go for is like I want to have at least one. I want to have the deck with all the houses. I got to have at least the different houses from a set, because that happened. I want to say AOA is like. No, actually, it was with Winds of Exchange. Every deck I was Brobnar. Like, I want to make sure I have all the houses in my collection, but I keep getting Brobnar.
Yep.
It's reduced my chances, because then, like, I'm duplicating, like, because, like, it was Brobnar and...
Yeah, you opened up F ton of Brobnar.
Yeah.
Like, everything.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not only was it Brobnar, but then it would have a Brobnar token.
Yeah, not only was it Brobnar, but it was Brobnar tokens.
Yeah, and I was just tired. I was like, okay, Jason, like, I don't want to see the red and orange anymore.
Then it's like, okay, let's see sealed. Oh, he told me another Brobnar token. Yeah. What?
Woo!
Yay!
okay, so I think you only need one deck is absolutely, again, another sales pitch.
Yeah,
you only need one deck to start. That's all. That's the initial buy-in. The test point, right? And so now that price has gone up a little bit, but that's what it is. All right, so the secondary market argument. They made an argument that if you have set rotation, then you're going to depress or kill the prices on the secondary market. And this is where I think this is where they got the the sloppiest with respect to what is set rotation. They started kind of defaulting to the idea that set rotation was, you know, 1 or 2 years worth of sets,
mm-hmm.
instead of 3 to 4 years of sets, yeah. right? So, and yes, if you're if you have a tight window, if things released in 2024 are no longer legal in 26, yeah, the points they made are good ones.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that set rotation, as we envision it, is longer than that. Mm-hmm. It's a longer cycle than that. And so there are plenty, there's again, we've hashed on these arguments, these points already. If you have 3 to 4 years, that's plenty of time to play decks.
And to sell decks.
And to sell decks.
And engage in the secondary market. Like,
yep.
3 to 4 years, like trading decks and selling them on the secondary market, like, I mean, again, we have to go with Magic here, but it's like, yeah, look how many sets they have constantly coming out. And it's like, unless it's an ultra rare, super expensive card, most of those become less valuable over time.
Right. And like, some come back weirdly.
Like, yeah. So some might,
individual cards come back weirdly powerful.
Right. And that could happen here. But for the most part, you know, we're not talking about individual cards. We're talking about decks. And after like 4 or 5 years of as we envision, it's like, the secondary market's pretty much done with turning or burning those cards and making a profit from it. Like, yeah, if you just want to sell to get rid of, then that's probably where it would be in that amount of time, unless mm-hmm. it's like really, really good. And if it's still really awesome, it's going to sell for a lot because someone still would want to have it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still going to be that market. Even with rotation, there would still be the market because someone's like, because we argued for the legacy tournaments.
Yes, they were arguing against legacy formats because it would fracture the community even more. Those points were, again, some of the ones where they were allowing their tight timeline of rotation to impact their mm-hmm. view. On a longer timeline, those legacy tournaments returns to the past.
Yeah.
Right? And right now, we're still growing, I hope, the community.
Yes.
So over the next couple of years are going to be vitally important. And we're going to get to those points. I've got a lot. Because we've set aside these two episodes to talk about this in particular, we haven't talked about some of the other things
right.
that have and have not gone on. So we'll come back to those in the following episodes. So stick with us. But WoW is sold out.
Yeah.
Right? And consider if we are to assume that Grim Reminders will sell out and Amber Skies will sell out, it's printed.
That'll probably be the model they follow.
We would expect that players will utilize the secondary market to gain access to those decks.
Right.
Right.
Because we're not going to have the issue like with AOA.
Right. So a player that comes in under Amber Skies may not have, or even Grim Reminders, may not have a lot of access to Winds or a lot of access to right. Worlds Collide or Mass Mutation or, heaven forbid, Dark Tidings. But they get that, right? So they can use the secondary market.
Yep.
And I think that will help the secondary market. I couldn't begin to. I'm not even going to sit here and tell you that I know what prices will happen.
Oh,
I know that
we can't speculate on that.
I know that rarity, I know that a limited amount will drive prices up, but there has to be demand for that limited amount.
Yeah.
If there aren't enough people to even demand a limited amount, then it doesn't matter how limited the amount is. If there's 100 thing, if there's extremely limited to 100, but there's only 50 people that want that 100 things, it's not, who cares, right?
Yeah.
So that's the point on the secondary market. And I admit, you know, this is all speculative. Like we don't know much about the secondary market. So we'll see what happens there. Now, their last point is it is not time for it. It is not time for set rotation. And we concede that point.
Yeah, totally agree.
We weren't thinking GG would be rotating anything in the next year. We didn't think they'd be rotating anything now or even this year, even 2024.
I would not expect it this year at all, no.
But Amber Skies is set 8.
Yep.
So I could envision rotation triggering with the release of maybe set 10.
Yeah, and Amber Skies is going to be coming out this fall. So even if it comes with like the next set, that's like, if it's kind of like how GR came out, it's like, we're looking at February, March of next year before potential the earliest that it could happen, but I don't even see that happening.
Yeah, I see.
With them just only coming out with the game, it's only been a couple of years. They're going to give it a few years of bringing the game back before they start talking about rotation.
And there is something to be said for a newer player coming in saying, hey, I don't have access to all these any old, of these six sets.
That are from 5 years ago and about six, 7 years ago.
Like Winds of Exchange, they might not even have access to Winds of Exchange except in the secondary market.
Right.
So knowing that their rotation is being planned can maybe assuage some of those fears that those people won't ever be competitive if these newer sets aren't competitive with those older sets.
It can keep it accessible to the newer players.
Right.
Which is what we want to keep growing the community.
Absolutely. And then when that community grows enough, legacy tournaments can be a thing because you're not fracturing the community. You have a large enough community so that there can be a segment of it that goes and plays these legacy tournaments.
And it could just, I mean, to start out, I just see that like, it's like, these are side events, casual, like you're going to play in the like main vault tour with your competitive decks. And then like, then afterwards, hey, let's bring back our Coda deck and just have at it just for old time's sake. Because just like we've talked about sometimes, like going to Gen Con or Worlds, we should bring some Conquest decks with us because there's so many
players out there
that it's like we still have that and we have our sets and the complete collection. It was a great game, but again, it's like the bandwidth for that, it's like it doesn't happen. It's like, but I'm already playing all these other games, like I don't remember the rules necessarily. And then you got to relearn.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah
I mean, it could happen with here, but it's like with rotation, even though it wouldn't be time for it now, eventually it would, and that would help keep the game growing and healthy and grow the community. But just, yes, we agree. Not now.
Not now. And I would argue that with enough notice.
Yes.
That rotation is coming. That players will have enough time to adjust to it. Plans made. You know, secondary markets, unfortunately, probably shut down, quote unquote, for Coda decks or AOA decks. But the notice to players is key.
Yes.
And as long as they know it's coming, then, you know, and they're given a year or two notice.
Yeah, like, and that's what happened. We saw with FFGs, like, originally for Netrunners, like, that wasn't even on the radar. But then they said, okay, we're about to have these sets coming. And when this happens, we've revised our earlier explanation, like, this is how rotation's going to work. And of course, some people in the community weren't thrilled about it. But that's the thing is, like, as time goes on, some card combinations and decks that are printed out, they're like, they're broken, they're not good, they don't function the way they do, especially,
or they collapse under their own
or
weight.
They collapse under
and
their own, like, weight,
because the interactions, and this is what happened with Netrunner, and it was happening with L5R as well, is that the card interactions are so complex and so numerous that you are prevented from exercising further design space.
That's the other reason for rotation, is open up design space, because, you know, like maybe they decide to do like a revised Coda where we, you know, they actually go through and balance some of the cards out, because like we talked about before, like we play tested it. We had no idea how some of these cards were going to work until we got out there and was like, oh yeah, that's not good. Like I could see any key cheating cards when they get reprinted, like have, why we've seen in Grim Miners, they get purged after use. Like with Ectocharge.
Ectocharge gets purged. Spooky Charge does not. Key Abduction does not.
But those could.
Which are the other ones? I don't know what the Equidon is. The Token Appreciation didn't come back. What's the Equidon one? There's seven in the Grim Reminders, I think.
Yeah.
There's Might Makes Right and Brobnar.
But see, that's the same thing. With this set, they opened up that all the houses actually have access to key cheats. But again, like if you were to like revisit the example here at Coda, then it's like, okay, well, Untamed has that power and all that recursion. It's like, let's tone it down a bit.
Yeah. So, set rotation. To conclude, Evergreen Promise, that's a sales pitch. It never came around, never was realized. FFG, even in a few years that they had the game, went back on it for the high-level play.
Yep.
You only need one deck. That's a sales, that's a hook. That's a get them hooked, get them on the fish hook, get them in, Get the first hits free. The rest will cost you.
Catch and release,
baby. The only thing that gets that was a sales pitch to get people to try the game.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody becomes a KeyForge player, whatever that means, they have more than one deck.
Yeah.
And they don't. And while they might not buy hundreds, they're going to buy several.
Right.
I mean, even Pear, who I don't think even he would call himself a KeyForge player yet, he has a dozen decks. Nine decks. He has nine decks already. He's been playing for like 5 months.
Right. Well, and he's also like, to keep himself from not spinning on more decks, he said like, okay, no more than one deck a week. Like,
yeah.
If he plays like...
He really wants to sometimes.
But it's like, he's like, no, I'm budgeting myself to not buying more than one. And then like, but last week, he got a really bonkers good deck. And it's like, it's like, you know, you could open more after this point, but I think you're good with that one pair. Just,
yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
But he's still going to have that desire. Like, nope, I'm still going to buy more decks. Just
because you could get one that's even cooler.
Could get one that's cooler. Or we've also got Menagerie.
Yeah, true. Secondary market, we think will be actually helped by this with enough notice.
Yes.
Right. I think the secondary market for strong new decks will be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And strong old decks will maybe, if there's any kind of legacy format, that will help. And we are hinging our arguments there on the legacy format existing.
Right. But it also opens up for, again, the secondary market's there to help newer players. They're like, well, I wasn't here when Worlds Collide came out. So I'm relying on the secondary market because really with, we can say for Winds of Exchange, it is sold out.
Yep.
So the secondary market will fill that need.
Yep. And then it's not time for it. And again, we concede that point.
Yeah.
But it's worth thinking about.
And right? Giving players notice.
Yes, and giving players plenty of notice. So, and that kind of concludes our formal set rotation, right? We went right around 30 minutes. There's 33 minutes on my recorder, so all that being timed out, it'll be a little bit under 30 minutes, which is good.
Yep.
So I hope you all enjoyed this. It certainly put us through our paces. We have a form for you to fill out if you'd like to. They'll be in the show notes. We would also urge you to, before you fill out that form, listen to the Sloppy Lab Work rebuttal episode as well.
Right.
Because that form is going to ask you how you felt about set rotation before we aired these episodes, how we felt about set rotation after these episodes, after you heard our arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And then who do you think won the debate? Right? I think I know who won the debate, but that's my opinion.
We want your opinion on this. Don't let us just say that we're the best out there.
And as we mentioned, some good things coming up. Amber Skies Game Found is coming up in April. We'll know more then. The House Skyborn with a pin for those who follow before the Game Found officially starts. So go ahead and follow, and you'll get
I had to follow. It's like I got to keep my pin collection going because I bought the rest from the Grim Riders. It's like, oh, but I don't have to buy any more pins. I'm happy about that.
That's
just
good.
By following that's an incentive for me to follow.
So, and we'll be back next week, and we'll talk more about the Amber Skies campaign. We'll talk more about
we should have Vault Tour
quote unquote
dates,
local play,
and local play.
Between now and then, February does end. So
it's true.
They promised us Vault Tour information in February.
Yep.
All right, folks. Hope you all enjoyed this debate. We hope to bring, not us particularly, but we as podcasters in the KeyForge community hope to bring more of these to you in the future. So stay tuned.
If you'd like to join the discussion, have ideas for future episodes, feedback, or questions for us, you can contact us through our Discord or via email at thewarcast2023@gmail.com. Please leave a review. It helps others find the cast. Thanks for listening, and remember,
Forge ahead.